Coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast, down in Mississippi, we had a Canadian victory. And also, friend of the show keeps it rolling. Plus, Patrick Reed's hilarious lawsuit has a very strange new twist. We get all into that and the rest of the golf highlights in the world of golf. Plus, we're tuned into the hurricane and my movie review as well of Don't Worry, Darling. And this week's guest is Carlos from Beautiful Life Golf. I actually got to play 18 holes with him here in Austin, Texas. He's a local, and a great conversation coming your way on all things regarding the mental game of golf. Plus, tailgating and yodels when we always end with food. All of it brought to you by our friends at DesertFoxGolf.com. They're the makers of the Phone Caddy. You know the Phone Caddy because we tell it to every week. It's a great gift. And I'm telling you right now, Mike, I don't think we've said this quite this year, but it's a holiday shopping season. We're officially entering Christmas shopping season.
Yep, it's time.
I'm saying it. It's a little early for some. I've completely skipped all the fall Desert Fox promo, and I'm going right to the holidays. You can get early to holiday shopping done and get a nice quick stocking stuffer for the golfer in your life by going to DesertFoxGolf.com. Check out the Phone Caddy, the tumblers, the towels, and everything else they have to offer. Promo code COURSEOFLIFE to save 10% off. Promo code COURSEOFLIFE at DesertFoxGolf.com.
Hello, interwebs, and welcome to Course of Life, part of the Morning Read Podcast Network. We are proud to be presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf and Tee Up Golf. I'm Michael, he's Alex. And Alex, it was the Sanderson Farm Championships up there, or down there, over there, Mississippi, I should say. And, you know, Mackenzie Hughes, you know, he was maybe a little bitter, a little left out from President's Cup. Three years, top 15 in putting on tour. You know, he was top 10 in points for a large part of the qualifying period. He lives in Charlotte. But no, he was passed over for the President's Cup team, and he had a little bit of extra fire in him, was able to force a playoff with Sepp Straka and then win in two playoff holes by draining a 8-foot birdie putt and winning the Sanderson Farms Open. So yeah. Mackenzie Hughes, overlooked, would have been a part of the President's Cup team and helped the international team win, or would it not have made a difference?
Yeah, I'm picturing Mackenzie Hughes with his back door open and the screen door open at his house in Charlotte, and he can hear the roars of the President's Cup, and it's just getting him more and more angry all last week that he wasn't part of it all, and maybe that motivated him. Is that what sent him out on his trip to Mississippi? That was the last thing he heard before he went and tore up the Sanderson Farms. A guy that's definitely kind of been a fixture in the world of golf. He's been consistently a top 50, 70, golfer in the world, top Canadian, kind of sitting stride for stride along with Corey Connors and Adam Hadwin, having that honor and trading that back and forth. Taylor Pendry getting in that conversation now as well too, Pendrith. And the Canadian faction is there, and Mackenzie Hughes has always been part of that. Tour veteran, been nipping around. He's had his fair share of Tour Ws, not as many as he would have liked, but interesting to see him come through this weekend. And he did it very impressively, like you mentioned, in sudden death.
Yep. Able to rally as well to force that playoff. Was able to make it happen for himself. So he's won a couple times now on tour as well, if I believe it. Now he's the number one FedEx Cup guy out there. Only two
yes,
events
the
in
way
this
too
young
early
season.
FedEx Cup standings. Yes.
He's going to go all the way. Let's give it to him right now. Let him raise that FedEx Cup trophy.
Right. And let's not go too far down the list to number five in the FedEx Cup standings, Mike. That's right. A friend of the show, and multiple time Course of Life podcast guest, is in the top five in the FedEx Cup standings right now. Round of applause for Taylor Montgomery after rattling off a second top 10 in two PGA Tour starts as a member. That's how you start things, apparently.
Life-changing golf is what we could say he's playing out there. after earning his tour card. Yes, he's number five in the FedEx Cup standing. He's making a boatload of cash. He didn't need to go to LIV Golf. He could just do it right here in stateside. And what do we think this means for him? What do we see for him in terms of success during this season?
I mean, just throwing himself in contention over and over again. You know what he could be? He could be the 2022-2023 Cam Young. That's who he could be. He could be that Korn Ferry Tour grad that is just throwing himself in contention over and over and over again. And eventually the walls are going to come down and break through. That's how I feel about Taylor and his game. And he's doing it very early, and he's getting that start right off the bat here through 2 weeks.
Are we thinking that we're going to have this nice flow of stars like we've really already had, who are just going to do this? They're going to earn their tour cards and they're going to come out super hot. They're going to come in top tens, or maybe not going to win, but they're going to do top tens, and they're just going to earn their place on tour. And then they're going to start notching victories. And then they're going to go full like Scottie Scheffler and just, right, you know, start winning everything.
Yeah, and were those emo fans, you know, the hipsters that said, you know, I knew them, you know, way back before they were big and they were on tour, you know, way back, you know. Yeah, so that'll be us. We'll be those people eventually. But for now, yes, we're looking like the cool kids, thanks to our buddy Taylor and another impressive week. Backdoor top 10, ninth there, third at Napa a couple weeks ago. And it's a home game now as he hits the Las Vegas here for the Shriners, which we'll get into in a bit. So another great opportunity for him to play well.
Let's talk about the LPGA. They were at the Colony in Texas for the Ascendant LPGA.
Nice.
Charlie Hull fired off four birdies on the back to win by one over ZU Lin, who happened to get an eagle there on 16 or 17, I think it was. So Charlie Hull now two victories on the LPGA. First victory though in 6 years, so she definitely came out hot and kind of went cold for a while, able to get back into the winner's circle here.
Yeah, a name we all kind of remember from about 8-10 years ago when she first burst on the scene at a very young age, mm-hmm, as a star over in the UK, and really showed her stuff in European amateur golf and coming up as a pro in the Ladies European Tour, dominated and then kind of fell off the face of the earth for like a few years and lost a lot of her game, but definitely has got it back in a big way. All the way so that she climbed back to the top of an LPGA leaderboard and got it done again. That's impressive to kind of fall to the pits of where she did and bring it all back to be an LPGA winner again. Like you said, first victory in 6 years, having that gap, you kind of wonder after going 5-6 winless years if you're ever going to do it again, and she did.
Let's keep talking about the women who play golf, because let's talk about one of our OG guests, Hannah Gregg, who we've been following her career as she played on the Symetra Tour. She's been playing some events over in Europe right now as well, as she kind of goes through some qualifying.
Saw that, yeah.
And I don't know if you saw what she did on Sunday. I think it was Sunday. Wow, I'm already forgetting what day it was. She got an ace.
Doesn't matter. She did something awesome that I'm just convinced I'm never going to do in my entire life. Yep. I just, every time never. I see this, it's always someone in my orbit on social media who made an ace. They're having the big celebration, popping bottles, living the good life. And then I'm just, it makes me more depressed. It really does.
You sound very bitter.
The Ace Club is starting to hurt me now that I've turned 35 and I've just really not even come close in recent years to a hole in one, because I feel like everyone is making it's the power of social media, Mike, but I feel like everyone in my orbit's making a hole in one recently. It's just that I'm seeing them all on Instagram now, but it's creeping even more doubt into my golf game, basically.
If it makes you feel any better,
yeah,
I have not made an ace.
Good, I'm not alone. So don't you go dare making one now.
If I do get one, I will make sure to shove it in your face.
Yeah, it's okay. I'm just going to silently resent you for the rest of our lives together.
There you go.
It's all right.
You know who else is resenting people, but not silently in any way or shape? Ooh, or
I think this
all.
Is a good segue coming up here.
Yeah, Patrick Reed, who did a little fake out on us. He pulled his lawsuit against against the Golf Channel, and then he shoved it right back out there for all of us
and added more names. He said, did. "I'm coming back with the lawsuit. I'm refiling, not just because like there's a paperwork issue and I just need to refile to keep it up to date. No, I'm refiling and I'm adding more names and I'm adding more media outlets that have defamed my character and wham." I'm upset. You said bad things about me, and I'm going to sue you and take you to court. And do you know who I am? He's literally like that kid who's like, you know, my dad's a lawyer, like, right? You're totally going down, right? Like, Patrick Reed is that kid personified in adult form, and he's taking it to the court. He's suing several media bodies, of which one is actually my wife's employer, Mike. So quite technically, right now, my wife in this household, I think if so facto, are we being sued by Patrick Reed right now? I think we are. It certainly feels like it.
I don't know if the Morning Reed or Sports Illustrated is being sued by Patrick Reed as of yet. I'm sure once we clip this clip and put it out there into the world, I'm sure Patrick Reed is going to block us from everything. We're going to get added to the lawsuit. So I welcome that. So let's
love you, P. Reed. Look forward to the block.
Let's get a GoFundMe started right now so we can get our lawyers up and going, because we don't have any money for that. We really don't. So
he could add anyone. There's no telling when he's going to do his next refiling. I'm not really even concerned about the court proceedings at this point. I'm just curious how many names he can add in further refilings of the lawsuit, because more people are going to make him mad in the media foreseeably and say something relatively critical. So that this story has a lot more legs for sure.
Yep. It does. It's going to be exciting. It's almost more exciting than whatever is left of the lawsuit of those LIV Golf guys against PGA Tour, because there's like nobody left on that lawsuit anymore. Phil's gone. Everyone else has pulled out. There's I don't even know who's left in that.
Not many, only a couple of pros, I believe. Matt Jones, Pierre Uline, maybe last check, if that. So a majority of them pulled out. Yeah.
Taylor Gooch, who's playing in his Ryder Cup every weekend, still in the lawsuit?
I don't think he is. I think most of them pulled out, to be honest. I think it was at least 8 or 9 out of the 12 have removed their names. So not looking good for that. So we really got to cling on to this Patrick Reed lawsuit, because I think it's got a longer timeline, honestly.
Yeah. Exactly. But in the short term, we can look forward this weekend to the Eastside Mini Open there in Austin. Of course, last week we had a full talk about it. I got to learn behind the scenes from it with Jeremy and Alex. How confident are you in your game going into this weekend?
Well, I am, and I actually got another boost of confidence, which when I sent this to you, I blew your mind. I think you almost dropped your phone. You were so stunned. But there's a word that got associated with me in the Eastside Mini Open this Saturday, which is going to absolutely blow everyone's mind. And it shattered your world for a few moments the other day. But I have been selected, Mike, to be part of a, and I use this word extremely loosely, celebrity panel of judges to judge the best putter, the best hole design, the best outfit and everything at the Eastside Mini Open. Huge honor. Excited to join Jeremy and the cast there. But really the headline here is that the C word got thrown around in conjunction with my name.
I don't want to belittle what we have achieved on this podcast or the Eastside Mini Open in any way here, but I think it's time to retire.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, I think Jeremy probably could get a lot more panache with his celebrity judging panel than me. I think he could. I'm excited to join the judges there from Good Party and the rest of the sponsors and the organizations that have paired up to join this Eastside Mini Open and everything it does for Bully Ranch. So it's going to be fun regardless. Check out all the content coming this Saturday. So this weekend, follow at COL Podcast on Instagram. I'm at Course of Life Alex, and I'll be posting the hole designs, the contest. Who knows what's going to go down on Saturday? Should be fun.
Also, this weekend, the PGA Tour heads to Vegas, baby, for the Shriners Children Open. And you know what that really means, though, Alex?
Yeah.
Is that Taylor Montgomery is going to win on the PGA
Tour. Hottest player on the PGA Tour has a home game this week. Think about that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So why not? He's played at Summerlin several times, knows every course in the area like the back of his hand. Obviously has a huge background in Vegas. Be sure to check out our podcast archives for those past conversations with Taylor, but definitely keeping him on my card. Why would I not? I've done it 2 weeks in a row, my runyourpool.com article and my picks, and it's paid off very well for anyone who's tailed a couple top tens there. So I'm obviously looking at him. Decent field in tow as well, too. A little bit better. I always refer to this as distraction week, though, because it's a fall event. It's a little in a funny spot in the schedule. Obviously, because of the destination, you're pulled in a lot of different directions, maybe besides the golf course this week. So we got to focus and find guys who are ready to roll for 72 holes there.
We'll have those picks up on Twitter, so make sure to check it out there. For now, let's switch over to Tuned In, where we share what we're tuning into outside of the world of sports. Being in Savannah, Georgia, at the middle of the low country in the Golden Isles here, right at the dividing line, I had to pay real close attention to Hurricane Ian this week.
Oh, yes. It's time for the Weather Channel Minute here, I guess. Yeah, so tell me about the experience. The path on that storm really kept moving a whole bunch, really kept you on your toes, it seemed like.
Yeah, it really did. You know, early in the week, there was, you know, maybe a couple spaghetti models that was showing it going over Florida and then curling up and going right over Savannah.
Right into,
And then more and more models showed it doing that. We were in dead center in the cone of uncertainty for most of Wednesday evening and Thursday. And then come Friday, it was just a little bit of wind. A little bit of rain here. We got very lucky in the Savannah area.
Yeah.
Obviously, our thoughts go out to everyone in Florida and South Carolina who was hit by this devastating storm, probably one of the deadliest that we'll see in quite a while here. And, you know, our connection to Florida, too. Of course, your family has a place on Marco Island. And my grandmother, until just last year, lived in Naples, Florida, which was hit very hard along with the Fort Myers area.
It was. Yeah.
So this is a devastating storm.
Definitely. I would encourage anyone to donate to the Red Cross or their local organizations that are giving back to that area. They need really money to do things with resources, not like sending food or water. So any way that anyone can help, I'd encourage that. And yeah, fortunately, our colleagues and affiliations in Southwest Florida did not get too much of the worst of it, but we're with thoughts going out to everyone in Fort Myers. We've had Danielle Garcia from Wink News on before there. Their studio flooded. And they went off the air for a few days. So there's been a lot of complications in Southwest Florida, but we're just hoping those people get through. And unfortunately, they did not get as lucky as you were with the storm's path. Yeah, so I'd seen previews for Don't Worry, Darling. I'd heard a lot of controversy swirling around this movie.
So much drama in this movie.
Yeah, I'd seen a lot. Yeah, so much. Obviously, you know me, I'm not the biggest movie guy in the world. So going in just a little empty-handed with not a lot of knowledge, but just wanted to see how everything unfolded. Basically, my quick 30-second review is it's a thriller for sure. It's the first 40 minutes feels like it's kind of like a Palm Springs, California version of Wolf of Wall Street. It's very kind of upbeat and living the lavish life and everything is just great. And this feels too great for a thriller movie. So something's got to go wrong. Right. And then the next hour comes, which is just a psychedelic thriller with all sorts of trippiness and maybe needed some more substances in my system to fully understand what was going on. And then we had about 15 minutes of Fast and the Furious at the end. So it was quite a ride. I could see the tension through the camera that maybe surfaced in production of this movie, which I read a lot about. But Harry Styles, pretty impressive performance overall. That's my 30-second take on the movie.
Okay, you said Fast and Furious at the very end there. So was it all about family?
Yes, it was all about family. And anyone who's seen the movie will be laughing right now because it's very much all about family in a weird and twisted way. A family that only one member of the family decides on. And no one else has a say in what their life's like. Let's put it that way.
Okay. All right, then. Yeah. Don't worry, darling.
3.5 out of 5 stars. Not super generous. Impressed. I got a little confused at times with the plot points, but I was entertained to watch the whole thing. So 3.5 out of 5.
All right. There you go. Let's go ahead and get into this week's guest, Alex. This week is a podcast first because you played 18 holes with this week's guest. And I'm sure he gave you a lot of tips and pointers on the course about how to kind of steady yourself and be in the right mindset throughout your round.
Yeah, I needed all the tidbits of advice possible from this week's guest, Carlos from Beautiful Life Golf. And it was funny because my round started off horribly. So I was immediately asking for him to get in my head, give me some advice, talk about the pathology of the brain and how it works on the golf course. And he did offer some tips and he's a great conversationalist. And I'm glad to have him join the show for his perspective on the game, how the brain works golfing, and just pretty much all things the mental game of golf.
That's right. And I have to ask, Alex, while you were out there playing with him, did you wear your new joggers from Tee Up Golf?
Well, you know what? I had them ready and lined up, but it's just still too friggin' hot here in Texas for me to go pants. I've got them ready. I did the first fit and walk around in them, and they feel fantastically comfortable. We're talking high quality fiber, great fabric, really impressive stuff from Tee Up Brand and Tee Up Golf. They're redefining modern golf wear, and we like the direction they're going, just like we like the direction that basically clothing on the course is going. So check out Tee Up Golf and everything they have to offer. Promo code COL15 for 15% off their products as well. We've got the jogger sent our way. They have polos and a whole lot more. So Tee Up Golf, check them out today. Next up on the tee from right here in Austin, Texas, my backyard, he is a golf mental game coach that provides meditation, yoga, wellness programs for golfers of all abilities. It's Carlos Benavides from A Beautiful Life Golf joining us on The Course of Life. Carlos, how are you doing today?
How's it going, Alex? Pleasure to be on, bud. Thank you so much for having me.
Definitely. Great to chat with you. I literally just got off the course and just hopped right in here to record now. So I've got fresh thoughts from the round that I definitely want to go over. And I think you're the consultant for that. But let's get into, you know, the aspect of golf that you talk about the most, which is the mental game. And people always have that casual conversation of golf. Oh, it's so much percent physical and so much percent mental, or golf, it's really just a mental game. Where's the mix? How much do you like to lean on the mental game versus the physical aspect of it? And how did you get into things with Beautiful Life Golf?
Well, as far as numbers, it's kind of difficult to place, you know, because every golfer is different. You might hear some golfers say like, oh man, I'm 90% mental. The rest of it is physical for me. Or
right,
I'm 50-50, you know, mental game and physical part. I find, you know, the more experience that you have, the more times that you've grooved a swing, you know, then it really becomes mental. And, you know, some of the players out there that are, you know, a little bit more advanced tend to trust their swings a little bit less. And then you got some folks that are just starting off the game and they're feeling, you know, all aspects of it, from the physical to the mental. So it kind of varies from golfer to golfer. But yeah, it's interesting how it kind of plays out from golfer to golfer.
Definitely. Yeah. So what we'll do is let's just kind of start at the beginning and we'll crescendo our way through all abilities of golfers and the round itself. But before we really even get out to the course, we're speaking to the rest of the world, the people that are maybe just getting their hands on a golf club or just learning the game. There is that initial mental frustration of learning your swing, learning how to consistently get the ball up in the air. You know, let's start with really simple things like that. You know, how do golfers need to approach the most simple steps to get their game going appropriately?
I think as far as like the mental aspect, one of the greatest things that a golfer can do is really learn to understand the in and outs of your nervous system. Because if you can understand the in and outs of your nervous system, then it kind of enables the golfer to become a sharper noticer on the course. A lot of the voices and feelings that we inherit on the course can really be summed up to sort of the voice of the nervous system, the ego, and so on and so forth. You know, so kind of understanding, you know, your sympathetic nervous system, your parasympathetic, and how to really keep the nervous system at bay, chill, and calm and collected is one of the greatest things that a golfer can do. And that's really a big bulk of what I teach is, you know, minding thoughts and understanding, oh, this negativity is coming from my negative bias brain. Could I be in fight or flight? Am I a little nervous going off the tee? I always talk to golfers about, you know, the mind being in three different places. It can be in the future, it can be in the present, and it can be in the past. And a lot of the times when we're in fight or flight, the thoughts tend to go from future to past, from past to future. And golfers tend to have a difficulty unlocking their greatest potential, which is in the right now.
And when beginner golfers are in that moment and they're stepping up to the ball and they're mainly just focusing on the negative and all the things they've done with past poor shots, would your be advice for me for them to maybe kind of work through that themselves and kind of, you know, literally mentally think they're over the ball? Or should they kind of take a step back, take a breath, you know, think a moment and recalibrate? What's your best advice for a beginner that's kind of just got too much going on in their brain when they're trying to swing the club?
Yeah, most definitely. You know, most golfers, especially beginners, can be flooded with thoughts and swing thoughts, and I've got to do this and I've got to do that, and my clubs needs to be here, my hands need to be here, my feet need to be here, and all those things are kind of, you know, really, really going berserk at the moment that it's time to hit the ball. You know, so the way I've been taught is, you know, we really want to have all of that thinking and that sort of neurological disarming in our pre-shot routine. So we've developed a pre-shot routine that really helps golfers sort of, you know, really disarm the nervous system so that those thoughts are not amplified when it's time to hit. So the way I've learned it, the way we teach golfers is, you know, there's a time for thinking. And then once we get over the ball, we just want to be focused on what we, you know, what we would like to do and staying present in the right now so that we can kind of say, okay, this is the think box, this is the play box. And when it's time to hit, there's sort of, you know, this trust that takes over. And it's just like, you know, I'm okay with wherever this ball goes. You know, I think a lot of it is, you know, releasing the outcome. And if a lot of golfers can just sort of be in the now, they're going to see better results.
Love that. Carlos, let's talk a little bit as we get into the actual act of playing around and pre-round. I know you and your partner work a lot specifically on yoga, stretching, you know, meditation, wellness, things to kind of get your mind ready to hit the golf course. For me, I just in the last year or two added just like an extra 5 or 10 minutes of just basic stretching per day. And I can tell you it's helped my flexibility, my range, and kind of my durability playing on the course too. Not a ton, but just enough to be noticeable. What are some important things you would bestow upon golfers who are just looking to be a little bit more flexible and take yoga and stretching to help them on the golf course?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, yoga and golf share parallels in that they're both practices that unify the body, the mind, and the spirit into union. And I absolutely love getting in some yoga before I go out to play. It won't be the first time I sort of bring my mind, body, and spirit into one. If I've done it, you know, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour before I get out for a round. So by the time I go do it for golf, which requires us to bring the mind and the body and the spirit into one, you know, I always say the mind is, you know, kind of telling the body what to do, and the spirit is directing the mind as to what it should be thinking and, you know, what needs to be kind of let go. So I've always found that sort of bringing that practice into a sort of a pre-round ritual before I go out into the course always helps me play my best alongside of the physical benefits. You know, if I've got to kind of get a little bit of a warm-up, I know I might not get to the course in time to get that warm-up that I'm really looking for, then I really rely on yoga prior to sort of bring it all together.
Love that. Interesting thing happened to me on my round, which I'm going to tell our audience and you and get your reaction. And it's kind of gone back to the age old conversation of walking versus riding and focus and kind of how that plays in the game. My thought process today was to walk the 18 holes. I sometimes feel a little bit more locked into the round, putting my feet on the course more often allows me to think between shots a little more extensively. But the heat ended up getting the better of me, and I ended up getting too tired by the back nine to really have that value pay off. Talk to me about walking versus riding. I think a lot of golfers go back and forth on this a lot. I've adopted the push cart in the last couple of years and want to do walking more, but the convenience of riding is obviously inevitable. What are your thoughts on walking versus riding and how that might help the mental game?
Yeah, that's a fascinating, you know, little piece there. I think that, you know, it definitely can favor one or the other. So if you're riding, well, great. You know, I'm saving all of that physical energy. I'm not walking. I'm able to kind of, you know, conserve the battery a little bit more. That kind of enables me to keep that energy going, my play going, play to my best potential as I make my way to the back nine. And then on the other side, you've got that ability to walk. And then now you've got this time in between the shots. And I've always considered the time in between the shots, whether you're riding or you're walking, a fantastic thing. And I've begun to utilize that time in between to sort of come back to the right now, be very, very aware of what's happening with my breath. And it tends to be a little bit easier to do when you're walking. You know, you're kind of connected with the course. It's easier to kind of zone in onto, you know, the environment, what's going on in that present
moment. It is, yeah.
And, you know, when we're riding, it can kind of be a little more shot to shot, more shot to shot. We may not
You're just popping out of the golf cart so fast. You know, you don't even really have time to catch your breath when you get to your ball. Yeah,
exactly. You know, and there's this, there's this concept that we've seen when studying other animals and whatnot, and just their behavior and just how humans tend to mimic some of these things. But after, you know, zebras are chased, by a lion or something crazy that's chasing them, they often or almost always go for a walk and drink water. And that sort of, you know, gets them out of their fight or flight and their nervous system after, you know, such a scary moment. And, you know, going back to how our brains don't know the difference between a life-threatening situation or I just went OB, right? It sets off the fight or flight. And so we can, you know, it can really help us in that walk, you know, to kind of bring everything back and get calm again so that we can show up and play our best golf. I always say, you know, it's very difficult for a golfer to play their best golf when they're in fight or flight, because it just, there's a lot of adrenaline and it's going to equal tension in the swing. So yeah, there's that kind of payoff, right? So I can walk and I've got the stamina to make it through the walk, then that's always a good thing. And then of course, if you're riding, well, then that's going to preserve your energy, but there's a little less time in between the shots to kind of manage the mind.
Definitely. It's a thin line. I think the moral of the story is, Carlos, I was so excited we got out of these 100 degree days in Austin. I thought I could handle 90, 95 out in the sun, but I could not. So I'm going to have to wait another month or two for my next walking route.
Most definitely. Yeah. Water ends up being the other just little variable in there.
I had so much. You would not believe it. It was a fun day out there regardless. Now, let's talk about during the round, if there is a little bit of adversity, because this happens to every golfer. You know, whether you have that moment, you're too hot on the course, or you just lined up a few bad shots in a row and you wonder, you know, halfway through the round, is this it? Is this the round? Is it over? Do I just have to succumb and give up? Or, you know, what's your advice for someone who has 60 or 90 seconds to kind of reset themselves from a mental standpoint and realize that there is more golf to play? And just because they did something for a handful of holes doesn't mean that the round's not available to them. What are maybe breathing exercises, thought processes, that things people should be looking to do at that moment?
Absolutely. You'll hear a lot of folks saying, you know, I go back to my breath, and I'm definitely one of those folks that subscribes to that idea. Mm-hmm. And a lot of folks, I think it's nice to give a little bit of info as to why. I'm a big believer, information doesn't always equal behavior change, but sometimes it can amplify it. If somebody just typically, you know, kind of understands the reasoning behind it a little bit more. And the reason I default to my breath, especially after bad shots or a hole gone wrong, is because, you know, again, we're very, very neurologically minded, and I want to make sure that is not an issue. So going back to the breath is super important because the nervous system is tied to the breath. So if I'm going to go into fight or flight, 99% of the time, we're going to be breathing very shallow. It's going to be very, very quick. It's going to be labored. Sometimes we just downright hold it. So to keep fight or flight at bay, or to keep that nervous system in an optimal state, the breath needs to be controlled. It needs to be long. It needs to be deep. So I always prescribe what we call a 4-8 breath. It's just, you know, there's different types of meditation, square breathing. But making sure essentially keeping your exhale longer than your inhale is going to be very, very key to telling the brain that, oh, no fight or flight here. You know, we're this person's safe, right? So as I'm kind of, you know, getting past a hole or digesting something that happened that wasn't favorable, I'm very, very, very aware of what's going on with my breath. I come back to my 4-8 repeatedly and essentially turn every round into a 4 or 5 hour meditation where it's just constant, constant watching of the breath. And this is just a fantastic thing to do just to maximize your play, maximize your potential. And the beautiful thing is that as golfers, this tends to kind of follow us off the course as well, you know? So if we can kind of mind that and be very aware of that, then, you know, it's going to benefit our game and we're going to catch ourselves sort of, oh my gosh, I'm holding my breath, or, you know, this email freaked me out at work, and we can kind of bring those techniques out into real life as well.
Now, I appreciate that. I'm big on the watch your hydration campaign. Now I'm adding watch your breath to that as well too, when I'm out on the course.
Love it.
Got two of them now. Let's talk about breaking score barriers, because that's something that comes up for people who are trying to break 100, 90, 80 par, whatever it may be, even if it's a 9-hole barrier of their own. How do you suggest that golfers treat those mentally? I've seen a lot of times where golfers know way, way too much about exactly where they stand, and then they blow it because all of that is flooding into their brain in the last few holes. Mm-hmm. And I've seen lots of success stories where people aren't even scoring and their friend is, and they're playing their best round. What's kind of the trick mentally to help break score barriers and just get, again, it's all about getting out of what's out there and what's in the now. Is that not right?
Absolutely. You know, so aside from, you know, the physical things, you know, making sure that our practice is different and we're upgrading that, that we're seeing a pro, that our swing is becoming better, and all of that good stuff. As I mentioned earlier, the noticing practice is going to be a big part of a golfer becoming better. I always say, you know, if we don't notice certain things, then we don't change certain things, you know, so a big part of the mental game is just becoming a phenomenal noticer. And as you mentioned earlier, you know, we start looking at the card, we start looking at what we've got to shoot this, or here's my record, here's my this, I've got to do this, I've got to do this. And as I mentioned, you know, the brain can go into three different places, the past, the present, or the future. And I noticed that one of the big ones for golfers is getting launched into the future. And as I always say, past depression or being bummed out, future anxiety / worry. So if we can observe or notice, oh my gosh, isn't it funny that I'm here on hole 15, hole 14, and I'm concerned with what I need to do on holes, you know, all the holes going in, I'm on hole 17, I'm on hole 10, on hole 18, I'm not even there yet. Could right. this be anxiety? and it's very interesting to catch those things and go, oh my gosh, I am catching myself in an anxious moment, having, you know, looking at what I need to do rather than just staying right here in the right now. And I know that if I just stay here in the now and just put all of my mental energy and potential into what I'm doing in the moment, eventually this round will finish. And there's nothing that I have to do right now as I'm on hole 9 or on hole 14. You know, to aid hole 16 or 17. If anything, that just puts more pressure on us. And as we know, more pressure, more expectations is, you know, a killer of the game, and it's a killer of the swing. And it's definitely going to set us up for disappointment more than likely.
Definitely. Well put. Carlos Benavides, Beautiful Life Golf on Instagram. I enjoy following his content. Golf mental game coach. Let's get into some quick shots now because we have a lot in common. Obviously, being from the same area, I saw that you had the honor. And from what I understand before we hopped on, maybe your first professionally attended event at the Dell Match Play this past March. I volunteer there every single year. It's basically my second home for a week every year. But what was your favorite part of the experience going to the Dell Match Play and seeing the world's best up close?
Oh my gosh. I think it was just going out there with my wife and my partner with Beautiful Life Golf. She's the our in-house occupational therapist and a phenomenal part of our team here at Beautiful Life. And just going out there and spending time with her, getting to see the pros in action, seeing the course and what phenomenal shape it was. I was able to set up at a booth. I forgot what hole it was off of. But I was able to just do that with Francis from Beyond Golf. And that was just a pleasure to work with him and kind of have a little booth there where we were giving advice to folks that were watching the tournament. But obviously, you know, getting to see the holes off of the 360 bridge was phenomenal. Just the Yes. overall vibe of everyone, you know, just having a great time where it was just a blast to be around.
Yeah, and it's a unique tournament because it is match play. I'm sure you'll appreciate this from a mental perspective, but you know, often these guys are in a full field where the guy directly next to them doesn't always have anything to do with their result. But watching the mental game of match play is very fascinating once a year, and we have the privilege of seeing it in our backyard too.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's really, really, really fun to watch. You know, it's a different approach, but nonetheless, you know, you kind of end up, you know, the goal is still the same, you know, beat my partner. And it's a funky, interesting way of playing. And yeah, it's just a delight to be able to have that here in town.
Well, I haven't gotten to play that course yet. I'm not quite that privileged. I don't know if you have, but what's your favorite Central Texas golf course? Could be anywhere in the area that you've played.
Oh my gosh, I have not played there either at ACC, but I've gotten a chance to play some of the Omni courses, which are a blast to play. Foothills, Crenshaw, the Palmer course. But moving to Austin, I quickly sort of formed a very interesting bond with Wolf Dancer going out towards Bastrop and Cedar Creek. I sort of just really took to the layout.
That's a beautiful course. We did a Playcation series out there, and I interviewed the head pro Jason and had him on the show. That's a fantastic venue out at the Hyatt property there.
Yes, fantastic. You know, just from the course to the amenities that are there, I personally rewrote a lot of my mental game out there and put in the hours out there. So I sort of developed that sort of that bond with the course and the work that was done out there.
Very cool. I was curious. I saw a session where you were talking to a crowd about the mental side of the game. And was that Eric Anders Lang in attendance there I saw?
Yes, it was. We did we were honored and blessed enough to do a little meditation and chat with the Random Golf Club at the opening of their HQ here in Austin. That was a total blast and just a complete honor.
Yeah, I haven't been, but I've only seen the space through social media. What's it like there?
I mean, amazing. Eric is so creative. The team there is so creative, and they've, you know, really created this beautiful spot for golfers to go and hang out. It's such a great place there. It's how cool to have it in Austin. It's just a delight.
Yeah, he's a great piece of talent to have in the Austin area for the golf community as well. All right, let's talk about what people who are in the Central Texas area or online and they want to contribute or participate in more of your content, what they can see coming up this fall in terms of yoga classes, events in the area upcoming for Beautiful Life Golf.
Yes, we're definitely working on creating a yoga day once a month somewhere out in town to be able to give the golfers of Austin a place to go for yoga, a place to go, you know, heal, a place to go and unite with other golfers, strengthen the mind, strengthen the body, and all of that good stuff. So we're definitely looking forward to, as the weather gets better, to be able to offer that. And we'll definitely be posting that on social media, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, the moment that that does become available. Yeah, yoga has just been a big part of my journey as far as becoming a better player in golf. And it's just our intention to pass that on to everyone else that can benefit as well.
Love it. It's Beautiful Life Golf on Instagram. Be sure to check out everything Carlos has going on. We love wrapping our interviews up with our 19th hole question. So let's get to the clubhouse now. The hard work is done on the golf course. You get into the 19th hole. Carlos, what's your favorite meal and drink to order at the end of the day?
Oh my gosh. The after meal definitely became a thing, especially after wrapping up around. My wife and I typically will find a place and then it just becomes the go-to place for like the next 10 rounds until
yes,
we finally
pitch
it up. For a moment there, Fairways Cantina at Mo Willie was a go-to.
Love that place, yeah.
Yes, the tacos and drinks are phenomenal. For a bit there, it was barbecue at HEB in South Congress at the barbecue restaurant inside the HEB. That became a big go-to. And if it's an early round and we're finishing early, we loved hitting up Bird Biscuit.
Oh, there it is. He hit the tacos, the barbecue, and the local option. That's a true Austinite right there.
Absolutely.
Love it. Carlos Benavides, thank you so much for hopping on again. It's Beautiful Life Golf on Instagram. Be sure to follow all of his content. And I look forward to joining you at a future yoga day.
Thank you, Alex. I appreciate you having me on. Pleasure. Thank you so very much.
And we're back. Great chat there with Carlos. I think we've said it here on the podcast a lot of times, Alex. We are big fans of being present on the course and having good amnesia at the same time and knowing that you need to forget certain things. And I know me personally, I try to be very present on the course. This was my challenge when we were out there in Albuquerque at the Hyatt Regency Tamaya and playing Twin Warriors was instead of trying to make content, was being present.
It's tough. It's a fine line to walk when you're golfing too. And me and Carlos were joking about that too. But we did a fun job of that last week. And it was so cool because there were a couple moments where that presence really paid off for Carlos's golf game. And I saw it firsthand where he hit a not great or an errant shot and just immediately shook it off a lot faster than I would. Now, I consider myself a pretty optimistic guy on the course, but he shook things off a lot faster, got right back and had a lot of great bounce back putts and bounce back opportunities where things could have gone sideways or off the rails. Like we all know, and we've all seen it happen to ourselves. He avoided a lot of those things. So shout out to Carlos and everything he has to offer with Beautiful Life. Look forward to collaborating with him here in Austin, Texas and future content as well.
And if you liked that interview with Carlos, plus everything else we do here, make sure you punch that subscribe button on the podcast app you're using right now. Follow us on Instagram, Course of Life, Alex, MWRINC, and COL Podcast.
Nailed it.
And we're on Twitter, too. He's Course of Life 1 on Twitter. And I'm still MWRINC. Let's talk football. Yes. Alex, 8-4, woo-hoo, and you had Georgia Southern in your picks. They covered for you.
How about them Eagles, huh?
They didn't get the win, but they covered for you. Remember, so there
good
you go.
Teams win, great teams cover. That's the slogan.
So I'm going to give you the floor for 30 seconds. Why should people give you $10 every week for the rest of the season?
That's a great idea. Venmo is at AlexL9187. If you'd like to do that as well, too, here, my Venmo is wide open for that, for those donations. If you'd like to take that as a thank you for my picks, runyourpool.com is where they're posted every week. And at Course of Life One on Twitter, 18 wins, 6 losses the last 2 weeks betting college football on Saturdays. So that Saturday morning tweet and that card and that article I write weekly is payday for anyone who's listening right now, who watches college football or just likes money as well. So check out those picks. It was another strong week where I was a mix of underdogs, a mix of overs and unders. I've gotten used to playing a lot of unders, which aren't fun bets. You know, you're rooting against points and you're rooting against excitement to happen in college football games. But that's where a lot of people don't dare lay a bet. And then that's where the money's made. So you got to do that sometimes. And I've been doing a lot of sacrificing from that aspect. But it's been successful on the college front for sure. 8-4 overall, 3-2 in the article. And we just hope to keep it going another week. Let's just stay hot and keep rolling the dice.
That's right. Really, the college game is where it's at, because for your run your pool picks on the professional side of the ball, you only went 2-2.
The NFL is, I would admit, visibly tougher to forecast than college football. So I will go in with that assumption and let everyone know I tend to lean to a higher percentage of wins in college front than NFL, but a decent week. You just got to hold things together from the picks perspective. The thing that didn't get held together is the Patriots quarterback room past Sunday.
It's pretty bad.
Yes.
Pretty
bad. We're down to wondering if we're going to bring Cam Newton back, which wide receiver is the emergency quarterback, and how well can we run the Wildcat offense? Those are things that have been discussed on Boston Sports Talk Radio this week. But regardless, after Mac Jones went down last week, the high ankle sprain, Brian Hoyer, the backup, seemed to be concussed, removed himself from the game, and Bailey Zappe, the third stringer, finished the game a loss and a tight one in overtime to Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. So the 1-3 Pats down to their third quarterback, and just a lot of question marks right now.
I mean, if it makes feeling better, the Giants could also be down to their third quarterback after this last week. I had a roller coaster week, short week. Because of course the Giants lost to the Cowboys on Monday night
they
last
did.
Week.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That was, that was depressing, especially considering when we recorded the podcast last week before the game had happened, I was all in on the Giants going undefeated for the whole season. Instead they lost the game, and then, we did win over the Bears 20-12, but at the expense of, Daniel Jones, who left the game with an ankle injury.
Familiar. The quarterback who you love so much and have supported throughout the years, right?
And then, backup quarterback Tyrod Taylor, concussion. This sounds a lot like the Patriots.
It does, actually, now that you read this off. Yeah,
different, and we also had a quarterback issue because there was no third string. So Daniel Jones had to go back into the game and finish the game because the third string quarterback, David Webb, longtime Giant, is on the practice squad.
Wow.
Practice squad. So Daniel Jones, as of this Monday afternoon, says he's good to go day-to-day, but good to go. And the Giants are 3-1.
That's the main difference here is you've got three wins instead of three losses. So,
I mean, when was the last time the Giants had three losses in week 4 of the NFL?
Yeah, never happened at all. So that's unbelievable stuff there from the quarterback situations on both of our team, and all concussion related, which was heavy in the news, as you saw as well in the past week.
Yes, it was. We don't need to go into it too much. We try to keep the podcast light and airy and all that fun stuff. But
yeah, the hits, they keep happening, and they're bad.
They keep happening, and the NFL keeps doing dumb stuff and really doesn't care about their player safety. Let's just go ahead and say that.
Yeah, man, that Doc, he lost his job, man. Jobs are on the line now. It's a real thing. Yeah,
it's true.
Crazy.
Let's talk baseball, though, for a little bit, because season's pretty much over because everything's set.
Oh, my season's been over for,
long time.
Two and a half months, maybe before the trade deadline. So, 2.5 months,
It's been over for a long, long time. This pretty much we're set here. We're more or less set.
You load up the landscape for me and what the potential Yankees path is going to look like. And I'll tell you, I'll give you a completely unbiased opinion of my chance of their chances of advancing.
Yeah. So if the playoff postseason were to start just today,
a little hypothetical, what could be on their door?
The Yankees would play the winner of the Tampa Bay Rays and the Cleveland Guardians.
Okay. That's the Rays.
That's okay.
You guys usually take care of the Rays. It's usually not easy, but usually do.
Interesting. They then would play either Houston, Seattle, or Toronto.
And this is one of those things where I think I would like to see Toronto. The world would like to see Seattle since they're the quote-unquote young underdogs. But in reality, we all know what's going to happen. We all know it's the Yankees-Astros collision course. That's just that's the way baseball is in the AL these days.
I would like to see anything other than the cheating Astros be anywhere near the postseason.
And that's exactly what we're going to get just because we feel that way. Pretty much. So
that's the path to the World Series. Okay. Now on the NL side, I am all in on the Atlanta Braves, who swept the Mets this weekend. I mean, this is like their rise right now is just ungodly how well they've been playing recently.
Yeah, I know. So, you're drinking the Georgia water right now. I get it. And I'm obliged to stick by the Mets because we are equal part participants in Yankee hatred, the Red Sox and the Yankee and the Mets. We have a little handshake agreement on the back door. So I have to root for the Mets in the playoffs in any capacity, basically.
You're not rooting for the Dodgers or Albert Pujols' final shot as a Cardinal?
Oh, that is intriguing. That the walk-off with him and Wainwright and Yadier Molina was a nice little touch there in the final regular season game at Busch Stadium. So that would be quite a storyline if they potentially made another one last run for Pujols and the Cardinals. I'll go with Mets Cardinals. That'd be a fun NLCS.
Okay. So it's going to be Yankees, because I'm all in on the Yankees still. So who are the Yankees going to beat in the World Series?
We're either going to run back the Subway Series or we're going to do Yankees Cardinals. And then I'll definitely be rooting for the Cardinals against you. Oh, God, man. Even more.
Everyone will root for the Cardinals.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The Major League Baseball does not want a Subway Series World Series. However awesome that is for New York, nobody really wants that.
It just sounds cool, though.
It does. It does sound cool. You know what else was really cool this weekend, Alex, was Quinnipiac ice hockey back on the rink there in Hamden, Connecticut.
Yep, the too soon hockey updates. Here they come.
Have to do the shout out. Second week of the poll is out, too. We're into the hockey season. The poll's out. Quinnipiac men's ice hockey, theoretical 2-0, because the two games this weekend were exhibitions. But they're number 6 in the polls.
Sure.
The women's team, 4-0. They're number 7. In the polls. I also need to shout out the women who are now this weekend going to do a home and home with Manchester, New Hampshire's pretty much my hometown's St. Anselm's College.
Wow. There's a rare shout out to St. Anselm there.
I know. Nice little home and home with St. A's. So there you go. That's our hockey update. Let's hashtag always end with food.
Yeah. Always end with food. Our food segment to end each Course of Life podcast episode. I will start with my Saturday recap, which was college football day for me. It was annual attendance. Had to kick off the Texas tailgate tour and head to the Longhorns, UT, West Virginia, Saturday night under the lights, the sun setting. It was 80 and sunny, just a tip-top perfect day, but started most importantly with the tailgate and the grub fest that is college football tailgating. So that was a great way to get things going.
What was the best thing you ate on Saturday?
So the main menu items were the wings were lemon pepper wings. Big fan. Okay. Love lemon pepper wings. And then we had I had some pulled pork tacos with pico de gallo and barbecue sauce. True Texas taco right there. Nice sausage wrap. Always goes down easy. And then you can't forget the chips and queso. So very well-rounded. Had the notes of barbecue, the notes of Tex-Mex, drinking some John Daly's to get me going for the game. And it was a big Longhorns win. So an absolutely perfect football Saturday. Started, of course, with the tailgate.
There you go. For me this past week, it's been ingrained in my head since I was a child in New England, thanks to my mother. Like when there was a snow day, that meant we baked. We typically would bake cookies.
Yeah. Cut out the Christmas cookies. That's the image for me. Is a snow day in December, January. You get out the Christmas cookie cutters with your mom. You bring the stool over the top of the kitchen. You cut them out. You throw the sugar on. You have a day. That's my vibe. Yeah.
I mean, the wife did make Halloween sugar cookies.
Oh, nice.
This weekend.
Love that. Very seasonal.
Which is very seasonal. Me, on the other hand, I did something a little different. I made a homemade yodels. You remember what a yodel is,
you know,
right?
What? I do, but you got to refresh me. I haven't even heard that word associated in the food category for decades now.
Everyone's favorite snack cake. It's basically a Swiss roll that's just tiny. It's a tiny Swiss roll. So chocolate cake, icing in the middle, and then covered in chocolate. So that's what I made this weekend.
The Ho-Ho's, what's the brand that did those? Well, not the Twinkies, but the...
I think it was Hostess or, or the other one who... Drake. It wasn't Drake. Drake's Cakes.
Shout out Seinfeld.
Brandon Lewis. There you go. But yeah, they were good. They need some work, but I thought they were pretty good. They were definitely not tiny. They were quite large.
No, I love the drizzle too. I saw that. Nice work on the drizzle.
The drizzle game was on point. It was a little drippy, if you know what I'm saying.
There it is.
You know what I'm saying.
With Mike with the swag to end this week's episode. Love it. Okay. And check out Always End With Food on Instagram for the photo of those yodels as well too. So that's our food segment to wrap the episode. Great course of life as usual. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to hit the subscribe button right now. We appreciate you listening, and we'll see you next week.